was telling about how she struggles with anxiety. Sometimes when she's eaten too much sugar right before she goes to bed. And I suggested, you know, try praying the 23rd Psalm. And I don't know if you've done that, but I encourage you to do it. Just savor it. Go through it. Phrase by phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? Imagine what that means. I shall not want. I have everything I need. Everything I need with Jesus. The world will always tell me I need something else. Just keep working your way through it. May we pray. Lord, your word is truth. And as we work your way through this passage this morning in Exodus, speak to us, bless us, put our hearts and minds in tune, let our minds be sharp and in step with your spirit to understand who we are and who you are and how we can follow you. Bless us, bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are following our two-year through the Bible reading plan, and that takes us to some interesting places, and this time it is taking us to the fourth chapter of Exodus. Exodus 4, verses 10 through 17. By the way, we stopped putting the scripture verses up on PowerPoint because we want to encourage you to bring your Bibles and just go to the verses there. And this helps us learn how also to handle, where is that book, you know, to learn how to be in the Word of God. And as we begin, I wanted to read to you an illustration from a Presbyterian Church in America pastor, Steve Brown, in his book Approaching God, which is about prayer. If you're familiar with Brown, he's a radio guy as well, and he has kind of a tongue-in-cheek approach at times. And so you'll catch some of that as I'm reading, but let's begin. A number of years ago, a young woman came into my study without knocking. No respect for the clergy. I looked up from the book I was reading and asked her if I could help her. No, she said, grinning. I'm going to help you. I have something that you will use in a sermon sometime. Last night, I went to a Bible study, and the Bible teacher said something that you will like. She said, "It is hard to hug a stiff kid." "That's good," I said, remembering how difficult it was to hug our teenage daughters, especially when they were angry and sullen, sort of like hugging a telephone pole. But that's not all. Last night, after the Bible study, I went to babysit a two-year-old boy, she went on. He had been playing in the dirt all day and was the dirtiest kid I've ever seen. When I went into his room, he lifted up his arms to be hugged. "Do you know what?" she asked. "What I learned?" "What?" "That it is easier to hug a dirty kid than it is to hug a stiff kid. Almost always when I talk to people about prayer, they tell me they don't pray because they aren't good enough and that God doesn't want to hear from people as sinful as they are. Listen to me and never forget what I'm going to tell you. It isn't your sin that causes God to be far away. The vicarious atonement of Christ takes care of our sin. But stiffness, now that will kill your prayer life every time. You say, but you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. That is never the problem. I've been a pastor for a whole bunch of years, and there isn't much, if anything, you can tell me that I haven't heard before or that will shock me. I've heard it all. I've cleaned up. He goes on from there. But the real problem is stiffness. So I want to begin with just this question. Are you a stiff kid? Or are you a dirty kid? Do you have some mud on you? And you know it. And you know that God knows it. And maybe you feel like, as Brown was saying, well, I can't draw near. Well, that brings us to our scripture today. Here we go. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. God is trying to send Moses to let his people go. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand, so you can perform the signs with it." Let's pray again. Lord, I'm reminded of when Aaron and Hur stood there holding up Moses' arms as the Israelites fought the Amalekites. If we do not call out to you in prayer, we are lost and our battles are lost. But we praise you, Lord, that you call us and you empower us to pray, and you desire for us to live in that place increasingly. Bless us, help us, Lord. No matter where we've been, to run to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do you think about Moses here? Stiff kid? You ever try to get someone to do something that they don't want to do and they keep pushing back? Maybe not hard, just a little. But their intentions are clear enough. That's what's happening here. We picked up partway through the conversation. The interesting thing is that God has already shown Moses all kinds of miracles. Throw your staff to the ground, it becomes a snake. Put your hand inside your cloak, Exodus 4:6. It comes out with leprosy, and then as he puts it back in, it comes out clean again. This is what is happening in this conversation. As Moses is standing there before the burning bush talking to God, you would think that it's enough that the Ancient of Days is right there before him in this bush that doesn't burn up. And he knows and he hears these words, "I am who I am." But it isn't enough for Moses. And I, of all people, cannot blame him. And I have a feeling you can't either. Because the issue here isn't God and the fact that he's right there. You and I may know that. The issue is actually what's going on here with Moses. After all of this impact, the things he sees God doing, Moses is still as stubborn as can be. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Moses may have had a speech impediment. We don't know. And again, I don't mean to be too hard on him. He probably had more faith in his little finger than I have in my entire body. But that's the point. If Moses is like this sometimes, how about you and me? I mean, I know none of us have had God speak to us through a burning bush, but haven't we all had this tug of war of the wills with him? Will all God's stiff kids give me a witness right now? Of course you won't. Not all of you, but some of you will. The rest of us, it may take a little bit of time. But think about this. Things had to be pretty bad for God's people in Egypt. We know that. We know that. And Moses knew it better than us. He saw it, not just on the news, you know. I mean, he saw it firsthand. He saw the whips on the backs of his people. It angered him so much he killed an Egyptian over it. He had to flee from that kind of power that would then kill him. He had seen their misery face to face. He knew it. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Not enough. You know why? Here's the clicker. Take a look at where his focus is. I've never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and tongue. After all the miracles. Take the staff. Throw it on the ground. Snake! Put your hand in your cloak. Oh, life-threatening disease. Put it back in. Clean. I'm slow of speech. Moses' head is still filled with himself and what he cannot do. So God brings him around. Verse 11, the Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." There is a lesson in life for this, isn't there? Sometimes when we're called to live through challenging circumstances, we get this idea in our heads that it's all up to us, and we forget who has been faithful to us in the past, who has got us now, and who will get us through, and who has promised to save us and keep us for all eternity, no matter what. We forget that sometimes. I like what Ben Patterson said about this. We're like children holding a parent's hand as we cross a busy street. The question is never how well we hold on, but how well the parent is holding us. But still, watch Moses' response. Wait for it. Here we go again. Verse 3. I like the way the earlier version of the NIV translates this. "Oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it." That's the older. At this point, presses God's patience. Because let's not miss it. What is happening here is God is saying, "Go, I'm with you, Moses. I'll take care of you. I've already showed you that. I will be with you no matter what you face. I'm here. I've got this. And Moses, ever so politely, is saying, no. I mean, that's what it comes down to. God says, go. Moses says, no. But he does so, you know, it's almost this sort of, you know, polite, bless your heart, southern kind of way, you know. Please send someone else. And God anticipates this. God does not relent. Word to the wise on that. If there is an area in your life where he is calling you to do something, and you know that he would have you do it, why stay in that unpleasant place of struggling? Take the steps, even if it's just a baby step, take the steps in his direction. He will help you from there. God anticipates what Moses is going to say and says, he works with him. He says, what about your brother Aaron? And Aaron, by the way, is already on the way to see him. Kind of an interesting thing. So he sends Moses with the staff to perform miracles. Moses does go, and we know the rest of the story from there. But from the 30,000-foot level, there are three brief takeaways from this encounter with God. And here's the first. Just look at how real this is. I mean, this is Moses that we're talking about. You know, this is this incredible man of God, one of the greatest, bravest leaders in history. But he's talking with God so openly. I believe God allows us to see moments like this in his word with people like Moses, because I think what we get to see is Moses' growth in faith over time with God. I mean, at first, he's very, very timid, but he's still being forthright with God about what he's thinking and what he's feeling, right? I mean, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it, you know? When you and I let God into those moments in our lives where we don't want to do the right thing, but when we let him in anyhow, he's gentle with us. He'll meet us there. He'll work with that. The important thing is that we let him in. That we bring him into that place of temptation. That we bring him into that place of, Lord, I know you'd have me do this to help someone, but I don't want to. Bring him in. Second observation, it's never a good thing to insist on your own way with God. Throughout this encounter, you see God trying to encourage Moses. I mean, just take a step back. It's pretty cool, right? Whoa, there's a snake, you know? I mean, God is just showing him this incredible power. But Moses is digging in. And he gets to the point of outright denial. And God sends him anyhow. We know how this ends. Regardless of his stubbornness or what he's done. Because God's Spirit, if you know him, is both gentle and persistent. you cannot run. Oh, you can. You just won't go anywhere. And the point is that you and I have to be in that place of loosening up and yielding a bit. Yes, Lord. Yes. We can find ourselves in another place if we stay stiff. You know, that place of discipline. Until our hearts do soften. You ever been there? No, I have. You ever been there? Scriptural. The Lord disciplines those he loves. His word tells us. It's all about love with him. And because he loves us and knows what's best for us, if we're living apart from his will, then you and I can come into those places of God so allowing our circumstances that we're going to want to be part of his will. And that brings us to the third observation, to someone who knew Moses well, knew him face to face, and who shows us a better way. In fact, he shows us how to pray when our wills want to go the other way. And our Heavenly Father wants us to go another. He could have prayed, "Oh Lord, send someone else to do it." And I thank God that he didn't. What he did pray, it's close, but it wasn't a refusal. What he prayed was, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." You see the difference? It's small in some ways, but vital. The one is, "Well, forgive me, Jesus," you know, "but I'm going to keep on doing this. And I'll just ask you for forgiveness again tomorrow." And the other is, "Lord, have mercy. Help me. Help me to want what you want. And give me the strength to live accordingly." And so Paul, who knew something about being strong-willed, wrote about this one in Philippians chapter 2, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." When you and I struggle with our own willfulness, Jesus has gone before us and made the way even there. Know that, dear one, and cling to him wherever your struggles may be. Because in his presence is peace. And when we lay our wills down, then the wonder of who he is flows into us all the more in the beauty of his Spirit and the closeness of his love. Scripture reminds us that if the Son will set you free, Jesus reminds us that if the Son will set you free, you shall be free indeed. And when you and I are insisting on our own will and our own way, we are in bondage to something. Could be anything. Could be anything. Could be stuff. Could be pornography. Could be ambition. Could be our physical wants. Could be any number of things. But the beautiful thing is, if you're a dirty kid and you know it, when you cry out, Abba, Father, pick me up, lift me up. Oh, he loves like that. He loves for us to come to him like that because he loves to set us free so that we may truly live in the joy and freedom that he intends. The way to genuine joy is found in the will of God and nowhere else. Anything else just counterfeits. But oh, to yield ourselves to him. To yield ourselves to him. Ask for his help with this, and he will help us. And again, dear one, I don't say this as someone who has arrived. This is a daily thing, isn't it? Every day there's new stuff that you and I have to encounter as we choose between living for this world and living for Jesus. But make the latter choice. Make the latter choice. And where he will lead you to himself, there's no better place to be. May we pray. Lord, you know us. You made us. You love us. And you have plans for us and things for us to do. Like Moses, you want to send us. To serve you. And in your service is freedom. Because you made us for yourself. So this morning, if you've been a stiff kid with God, would you just loosen up, yield to him? Maybe you're looking at your struggle right now and saying, I can't. I don't know that I can. In his strength, you can. So ask for it. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me to want what you want. Lord, thank you for this example of Moses in your word being so real with you. Help us to be real with you. If anyone in the sound of my voice this morning is aware of their depth of need for God for the first time, a way you've never felt before, that is his spirit calling you to him. And you can welcome him in right now. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door and hears my voice, I will come in and be with them. He actually says, has a meal. It means hanging out, being with you. And our part is to say, yes, Lord, come in, forgive me. I receive what you did for me on the cross. I receive you. Receive your forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Continue. Jesus, knowing our willfulness, knew that he would have to enter into our own skin. And so he sent the Spirit, who would be his presence with us always, but he also gave us himself through this sacrament, his presence within us in this. This is my body, broken for you, he said. Take, eat. It's a way of saying, let me in. And so he picked up the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant, the new agreement with God in my blood, that is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. All of you drink of it. And so in this sacrament of his body, of his blood, our Lord welcomes us to walk with him. In an entirely new way of living, where he becomes our strength. He becomes what we're looking forward to. He becomes freedom from our past. He becomes our peace. As we come to this table, we encourage you, first of all, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you've received him, this is a table that we share with all. It's not just an EPC, Peace Church table. It's the Lord's table. Secondly, though, we also encourage you to come preparing yourself. By preparing yourself, that means if there's any sin in your life that you're dealing with, where you're holding back, where you're saying, no, my will be done, then we encourage you, don't come to the table like that. Come to the table laying that down. You may still be struggling with it, but you say, Lord, help me to leave it. I want to leave it. Show me how. To encourage you to come if you come that way. But remember, no stiff kids at this table, only muddy ones. We're going to take a moment. Paige is going to sing and play, and then encourage you, just take a moment before God to prepare as we come to this table. And sing as the Lord leads, but this we'll be singing during our communion as we come forward. Just prepare your hearts. Let's take a moment first. Just prepare our hearts and listen for a moment, and then join in. Lord, bless us. Set these elements apart to a sacred use that we may know you are in this room and you are in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Can see.